Good to see everybody here tonight. Thanks for joining, singing a few songs, and appreciate the kids coming together and singing a few extra with us before the meeting even started, so that was great. We're going to just open the meeting tonight with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you, and we're thankful that tonight we can open up your word. We're thankful that we're not here just to share our own ideas, but we're really here to proclaim the good message of the gospel, and we recognize our inability to communicate the message perfectly. We think of the Lord Jesus, how his life, he communicated the message perfectly. Everything about him was perfect. He was God in flesh, and we think of just the message that he shared to all around him of repent and believe the gospel, and that's just the message we would attempt to share tonight. We just pray for help with this. So we do this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I don't know how desperate you guys are up here in O'Leary, but to have to go all the way to Charlottetown to find some speakers is really tough. Hopefully, you know, it's just nice to have a different voice. So maybe it's just nice to have a bit of a different voice. So we're going to start, we're going to read a story in Mark chapter 4. If you guys will turn to the Gospel of Mark and chapter 4. So there's a story from the life of the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus told many stories when he was here. He told a lot of stories, but this isn't a story he told. This is something that actually happened, but it involves the Lord Jesus. We're going to learn something about it. So Mark chapter 4, and we're going to read at verse number 36. It says, "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So that was a storm in the life of the disciples. And we see at the end of this story, the Lord Jesus calmed the storm. Now I want to read in Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. And in Mark chapter 15, we're going to read about another storm that the Lord Jesus was involved with. But this is a storm, well, maybe depending on your interpretation, but the way I'm gonna look at it tonight, this is a storm that the Lord Jesus didn't calm at all. This is a storm that the Lord Jesus didn't calm at all. And it's really, I was thinking about the Lord Jesus when he was on the cross. So God was born into this world, came in as a baby, the Lord Jesus, and one day he would actually go to the cross to die for your sins. And this is the story that we're going to read here. Mark chapter 15 and verse number 20. And there's many verses here, and hopefully you guys don't mind. I'm just reading them. Mark chapter 15 and verse 20. "And when they had mocked him," the Lord Jesus, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. "And they compel one, Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him into the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over, The King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, And he was numbered with the transgressors." Now I was thinking about this part. And they that passed by railed on him. They mocked him. They made fun of him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days. That's something that Jesus had said he would do. Save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, Behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. Now, the story that we read in Mark, maybe it's a story. The kids here today, they acted out a play of the Tower of Babel, and that was a really cool play to act out. I would enjoy maybe a slightly smaller group, but I think this would also be a really cool story to act out. If you can picture, I'm going to ask the kids to try to picture in your mind. So at the start of the story, the disciples are in the boat. So you got in your mind, the disciples are in the boat. And the Lord Jesus is also in the boat. And the disciples say, let's go to the other side. So they're going to cross a big lake. I don't know if you've ever been in a boat before, if you've ever gone to Eastern PEI and taken the ferry, gotten on a big boat to cross a bunch of water, but these disciples, they weren't in a big ferry. They were kind of in a littler boat. But there was the 12 disciples and the Lord. And the disciples set out. And when they started their journey, I'm sure it was kind of like today. If you look outside, you can still see, whichever way, this way, I guess, you can still see the sun is still shining. So they set out on their ship, and the sun is shining. It's a beautiful day. But all of a sudden, as they're rowing along, the clouds start to darken. And the disciples, they were used to being on the water. A lot of them used to be fishermen. So they knew, uh-oh, these clouds are getting dark. There might be a storm. Now, at the exact time as the storm was gathering, some of the disciples noticed that Jesus was actually asleep at the back of the boat. So the disciples are heading for this storm, and Jesus is asleep at the back of the boat. Now the storm starts, and the story tells us that it was a big storm. So the wind was just whooshing, and it was really dark. I don't know if you've ever, sometimes when a big storm is happening and the clouds are really dark, you go outside, it's the middle of the day, but it's so dark, you'd almost think it was nighttime because it's just so dark out. Well, that's what it was like for the disciples. And the wind is just whistling, and the waves are smashing the boat. Now, the disciples, they were rowing along, and they were trying to get to the other side. But eventually, they realized, our rowing isn't doing anything. The rowing isn't doing anything. The storm is pushing the boat. So the waves were pushing the boat up and down, and the wind was whooshing against the boat. The disciples, what they were doing, wasn't doing a thing anymore. The storm was so powerful that they were controlling the boat. The boat was just in control of the massive storm. Now, when I read this story, and I thought about these disciples going through this storm, I thought of each one of the people that was going to be here in the meeting tonight. And it made me think of a big problem that the Bible tells us we have. And I know from the kids that were here on this stage today, they're pretty smart. I'm sure if I asked them, well, what's our problem? Sure, if I asked you, we had an app and you could have a poll going on and the results would appear on some projector and said, what does the Bible say is our main problem? Sure, everyone or most people here would know it's our sin. The Bible tells us we have sinned against God. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe you're young enough that you think, I think if I tried really hard, I pretty much stop sinning. I think I could stop sinning. Maybe you still think that. For us that are older, we've realized we can't. Sin is so powerful. It's like this big storm. The wind is pushing us around. The waves are pushing us around, going up and down through the waves. Just like that storm was too powerful, our problem of sin is too powerful for us. We can't do anything about our sin. It destroys our lives. Just like that storm wanted to destroy the boat. Now, what I want you to understand is that the disciples, eventually, they came to a point where they realized they needed help. Because the storm was too strong, and the waves and the wind were pushing water into their boat. And the disciples, if you were in a boat on the water, and water started getting into your boat, what would be the first thing you would do? Well, you'd try to get rid of the water. But the water was coming in so fast, they couldn't get it out in time. And if you know what happens to a boat, if too much water gets in and the water's not getting out, what's going to happen to the boat? It's going to sink, exactly. So the boat was going to sink. What did the disciples do? They cried out for help to the Lord Jesus. They cried out for help because they realized there's nothing we can do. And what I would love is if there was somebody here tonight and you were able to take an honest look at yourself and you were able to read the Bible that tells us we're all sinners, and if tonight you could realize that sin is too strong for you, that there is nothing you can do about your sin. It's too much. It's too big. You're guilty before God. God will punish you for your sins, and there's nothing you can do about it. So I want you in your mind, if you can picture that boat just being chucked around on the water, in that same way, our sin is too strong for us. But what we would love tonight is if there was someone here tonight, and when you were honest with yourselves about your sin, you did exactly what the disciples did. The disciples, they knew Jesus, he's right there. And they cried out for help. And that's what you need to do in the meeting tonight. If you are not saved, if you don't have a moment in your life where you were saved, like John this afternoon, he was talking about people who are saved, people who are not saved. And when the Lord came, those that were saved just lifted right up. Remember, they just lifted right up to that thing he was holding. Well, if there's not a moment in your life where you have been saved, tonight it would be amazing if you would call out to Jesus. Now, what I find amazing is when I think about the Lord Jesus, I think about the cross. Now, that's what we read about in Mark chapter 15. Because when the disciples were going through the storm, Jesus stopped the storm. When they cried out for help, Jesus stood up and he said, "Peace be still." And the waves that had been whooshing them around went completely still. And the waves that had just been tossing them up and down went completely flat. The storm was completely over. And one of the passages, I can't even remember if it's this one, says, "And immediately they were at the shore." So the storm was completely over. In a moment, the Lord Jesus stopped the storm. But a few chapters later in Mark, we read about the Lord Jesus and he's being crucified. He's on the cross. And the storm of the cross, he doesn't stop it at all. Now, there were people who were walking by and they saw the Lord Jesus on the cross. And they said, "Well, this man, he said that he could save us all. But he's on the cross. He's not even saving himself. This man, if he can save others, he should start by saving himself first." So that's what they did. They were laughing at the Lord Jesus. They were making fun of him. They thought, "He's on the cross. He can't be God. He can't be our Savior. He's dying. That can't be right." What I want all of us to know here today is why the Lord Jesus was dying on the cross. Yeah, I know if I could ask some people, I could ask some people. But why the Lord Jesus was dying on the cross was because of our sins. God was taking our sins and laying them on the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus was completely paying for our sins. So why did the Lord Jesus go through that storm? Why didn't he stop it? Why didn't he stop that storm partway and said, no, that's enough, we're going to just stop it right here? I was going to read in John 19 and 30 where Jesus says, it is finished. When Jesus was on the cross, he completely paid for all of our sins. And the reason why he paid for all of our sins was so that he could save you and so that he could save me. The Lord Jesus was so powerful that he could take all of our sins upon himself. That shows how strong he was. When he was in the boat with the disciples and they cried out, Lord, save us. The Lord was so powerful, he stood up in the boat and he calmed the storm completely. Everything went completely calm. When he was on the cross, he was so powerful that he stayed on the cross and he took all of our sins upon himself. So I want you to think about that storm. I want you to know that that storm is like us and that we can't do anything about our sins. We are helpless to do anything about our sins. But the Lord Jesus completely paid for them. So those sins that you have, all of them have been paid for by the Lord Jesus. Now, what I want you to try to think about tonight, how were the disciples saved? So the disciples were in the boat. We can picture it. The storm is going on. How were they saved? What did they do? Did they try to row faster? Did they try to push water out of their boat faster? Is that what saved them? What saved the disciples? What saved the disciples was when they called out to Jesus to save them. They called out to Jesus to save them. And what can save you from your sins tonight? You might know. You might be able to read the Bible and you know, I'm a sinner. I have done things that are wrong before God. I'm a sinner. And you might be able to look at the cross and you might be able to say, yeah, I know Jesus died on the cross. I know he died on the cross. I know he died on the cross for sinners. I know he did all that. That's great. That's great if you know you're a sinner. And if you know Jesus Christ died on the cross, that's very important for you to know. But that doesn't mean you're saved. The disciples were in the storm and they knew they needed help. And they knew Jesus is here. He could help us. But what would have happened if they had have just sat in their boat and thought, well, we need help. And Jesus is here and he can save us. And that's all that happened. If that was all that would happen, that boat would have sunk to the bottom. But that's not what happened in the story. Because when the disciples realized they needed help, and when they looked and they saw Jesus is here in the boat with us, they cried out to him to be saved. Now, it's almost a good thing that I don't know. I know of, I would say, most of the people here. I don't know if you're saved or not. I don't know if you have come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior or not. But you know. You know before God, do you have a moment in your life where you cried out to God to save you? And all the kids that were here today, when John was talking about the Lord coming, all the kids wanted to go up with the Lord Jesus. No one was like, I kind of like to stay behind. I don't want to be in heaven. No, everyone wanted to go. But we don't know who here is saved. And if you don't have a moment in your life where you have called out to Jesus to save you, it's really important. That's what we would try to share to you tonight. It's really important for you to call out to him right away. As John was saying, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but we know that right now you could call out to Jesus right now and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. You can save me. You died on the cross for my sins. Please save me. You could call out to him right now. So just as those disciples, they called out to Jesus to save them, that's what you need to do tonight. You need to call out to Jesus to save you. But what I do want you to understand, if I can encourage you just to kind of push our understanding just a little bit further, what is going to save you is not your calling out. Your calling out to Jesus won't save you. What's going to save you? Well, Jesus is going to save you. So you don't need to trust in yourselves. The disciples weren't trusting in themselves to make the waves go calm. They weren't trusting in themselves to stop the wind. Who were they trusting in? They were trusting in Jesus, exactly. Well, that's what I want to ask you. Right now, who are you trusting in? Are you trusting in Jesus right now? We want you to call to him. But it's not your call, the physical call. That's not what saves you. The Lord Jesus is going to save you. But we can all imagine it would be so sad for the disciples to have the Lord Jesus right there in that boat and for that boat to sink. It'd be such a missed opportunity. And we would love if there was somebody here tonight who was able to look at themselves and know they're a sinner, look at the Lord Jesus on the cross and know that he died for them, and knew that, well, if I don't ask the Lord to save me, I'll never be saved. So that's what the message that I have for you tonight, the story. I want you to think about that boat. I want you to think about how that boat was powerless to save itself. But Jesus, who allowed that storm to just, the waves and the billows to wash over him, the Lord Jesus allowed that storm to hit him, and our sin was completely laid on him. Jesus can save you tonight if you call out to him.